With all of the natural disaster taking place, there are a multitude of thoughts that are running through people's minds. Why did this happen to me? What am I supposed to do next? When we think about the tragedies that have been coming into contact with our great country, we see that there are people who are wondering what the next step in their life is going to be and what it is that they're going to do in order to handle these things that have come their way that maybe they weren't ready for. Most likely they weren't ready for. But because many cannot answer these questions themselves, the tendency is to point the blame in the wrong places. Those who have this tendency tend to point the blame in one of two ways. We either see that they start drawing the conclusion that God Himself is cruel and that He is responsible for these things, or they draw the conclusion that God Himself doesn't exist because of things that happen and that we can't control concerning these natural disasters that take place. Well, what needs to be done in the midst of all of this chaos that we see surrounding us is we need to see some of those who are experiencing these times of difficulty need to take a moment to think about what it is that they can learn about the things that they're experiencing. What is it that we can draw, or in regards to different conclusions, what is it that we can see as a result of everything being taken from us in a matter of minutes? What can we conclude based on those things? And not only those who are experiencing it directly, but those of us who are unaffected and who are witnessing these things taking place. What can we learn from these events? Several hundred years before the Christ, the nation of Israel endured catastrophe that affected them in a multitude of ways. Their sin led them down a road that they never thought would come to fruition, but once this materialized, the unthinkable happened as a result of their sin. Now, of course, when we're looking at these comparisons between the natural disasters or the disasters that took place in our country and relating it to what Israel is experiencing at this time, of course, we see that they're not exact parallels. However, we can learn some things that are similar and learn some lessons that apply to us today that we can take into consideration. But we see that at this time when Nehemiah was walking the earth, there were some tragic things taking place. And the unthinkable happened because God allowed a Gentile nation to discipline God's people. That God allowed the nations that surrounded them to discipline this holy nation, this people that were supposed to be God's people, His chosen people. And they are going through this period, or they have gone through this period of discipline. And once we reach the time of Nehemiah in the middle 5th century BC, we see that they're coming out of this era of discipline. And they are now facing the consequences of rebuilding that which they had formerly known in its former glory. But of course, every nation faces catastrophe at one point in time. If they are able, they're going to look forward towards rebuilding, going back to their former ways, going back to what it is that they had lost, rebuilding buildings, rebuilding businesses in our times, whatever it is that was destroyed, they're going to look forward towards rebuilding. What we see in this context, when we get to the time of Nehemiah, we are looking at Israel's coming out of captivity and towards this point in time where they're going to have to rebuild. In chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, now it is happening in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Susa, the capital, that Hanani, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped, who had survived the exile, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are destroyed by fire. This is the report that Nehemiah received back from the time in which he's waiting and back towards this time in which they had received this discipline. He's being informed that everything in Jerusalem, everything in his homeland is lost, that those things that were formerly known as glory or full of glory are now in ruins. And the people are in shame, and the wall of Jerusalem has been destroyed, something that they look towards for protection, for security. This is a case in which God was specifically judging the nation of Israel because of their sin. But nevertheless, the physical despair of all physical catastrophe has these similarities. But those among the nation of Israel needed to learn, along with those who are in our nation, that physical destruction shows the need for this spiritual relationship. They are looking towards rebuilding a city, but God has something greater in mind for Israel. This emphasis is going to be seen through one of God's great leaders, Nehemiah, that they need to rebuild this spiritual relationship. The first half of Nehemiah is going to focus on rebuilding the physical city in order to restore this security that they had formerly known. However, Nehemiah doesn't seem to begin there, and that we see that there in the first chapter in the verses that were just read for us. In chapter 1, we're going to see that Nehemiah is going to start with this spiritual emphasis, and he's going to do so for a purpose. We're going to see three ways that we are to rebuild a spiritual relationship in order to recover from these catastrophes that are inevitable in our world. No matter which perspective we look from or where we come from, these things are something that are a reality to us. But we're going to see what we can learn as a result of these things that we don't often expect to happen to us. Number one, we are to rebuild a spiritual relationship through godly sorrow. When this information was reported to Nehemiah, if you look in verse 4, we see an emotional response that should be expected. It says in Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 4, "As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven." Whenever we see interviews of those being affected in a physical way, whether it be by the fires that are so prevalent during this season, and or the floods that have been taking place in both in Florida and in Texas and in other areas, we see these people being interviewed. And we see that without a doubt, they're going through some form of grief. They're grief-stricken over their loss, and they'll start to recount the things that they have lost. They'll say that they've lost their homes. They've lost all of their clothing. They have this seemingly unrepairable damage to their land. They have a hindrance in regards to their livelihood for some of them, and they'll recount all these things that they have lost. And because of that, there is this grief found within all of them. Here we see Nehemiah going through this grief. However, it's not because of him feeling sorry for himself. It's not because Nehemiah is recounting all the things that he has personally lost. The reason why Nehemiah is so grief-stricken is because he is finally realizing that Israel is responsible for this destruction. He is not sorry for himself and the things that he has lost. He is sorry because he recognizes the things that he and his nation have done in betrayal to God and the things that they had committed to him when God made the covenant with Israel. Because of this tragedy, he is suffering this great remorse, and it says that he is fasting and that he has prayed for days, and that it is striking up this emotional response. When we think about losing everything, and in that context, we need to understand that through great tragedy, when we're experiencing these different things and watching others go through different times of trial in this way, that when we see physical disaster take place, if we have lost everything, we need to understand that there is a spiritual relationship that needs to be restored. If we have lost everything, and we'll continue to see why here in the text. No, we are not saying that the natural disasters that we see around us have been experienced because of a direct judgment of God. There is no evidence to show that, and we don't see that taking place today, but we understand that these things take place and are still a reality to us in regards to catastrophe. But regardless, no matter the cause of the disaster, each one should bring us to this realization that we would have nothing without God. Thus bringing us to a state of godly sorrow when we recognize that we have been living for the wrong reasons. When we talk about our sinfulness, we are pointing out a state of betrayal. This act that is committed against God and something that is contrary to this covenant that we have made with God as His people. When Nehemiah began his prayer in chapter 1 and verse 5 by remembering God's faithfulness. And you see, continuing on in verse 5, he says, "And I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments." What Nehemiah is reminding them of is God's faithfulness. That when God says something, that when God makes an agreement with a nation or with a chosen people, there are no ands, ifs, or buts about whether or not He is going to fulfill His own responsibilities to that nation in keeping His promises. But when we see that happen, and God's faithfulness is revealed in a way that opposes us, we experience something that may be foreign to our way of thinking, or may be foreign to what we've experienced in the past. But God is faithful regardless of whether or not we are faithful. And when we see that Nehemiah is reacting to this destruction, to this catastrophe, he is responding with godly sorrow, understanding that they are responsible for the ones who have suffered, for the ones who have lost their lives. They are responsible for this judgment that is coming upon them. What Nehemiah is trying to point out is that God is faithful, but what about you, Israel? What about your faithfulness? What about your end of the covenant that you all were supposed to keep and hold in such high regard? Nehemiah is realizing not just the consequences, but what the nation did to deserve those consequences. Regardless of the storms that come our way, whether they be on a national level or on an individual level, they serve as an opportunity to realize what we have done if we do not have the proper relationship with God is something that affects us in a way that we need to fix and we need to work on in a way of improvement. But because of that, Nehemiah is experiencing this grief. Rebuilding a relationship with God requires this godly sorrow. But second, rebuilding a spiritual relationship with God requires this confession of fault. This is how we know that Nehemiah was not feeling sorry for himself. That this grief he was experiencing was not a result of his personal loss, but feeling guilty for the things that Israel has done in violation of God's law. He had stated in verse 5 that those who love God are the same as those who keep His commandments in verse 5. But he continues in verse 6, he says, "Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant that I now pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants." Confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Even I, my father's house, have sinned. We know that Nehemiah is one of God's great leaders. However, we're seeing him take personal responsibility for the current state of Israel. We, on an individual basis and collectively, have convinced ourselves that we are not a part of the problem. When we think about the things that need to be worked on and the things that need to be restored and the things that need to change, somehow, for whatever reason, we convince ourselves that we're not a part of the problem and that none of the blame falls on our shoulders. Well, whether or not Nehemiah was personally responsible for Israel's state of destruction, he took this responsibility upon himself and he says, "I, along with my nation, have sinned. And I am responsible for this current state that Israel finds themselves in." When Nehemiah completely understands that they do not deserve God's attention, yet he cries out for it anyway. Because he begins by pleading for God's open ears and God's open eyes, if you look with me there in the text. But then he confesses that he and the nation of Israel have sinned. One of the main things that prevents us from being sorry is our own lack of confession. And of course, we don't understand this term in a way that some others do, and that we have to confess our sins to a priesthood or in this fashion, but it is admitting that we are responsible. It is admitting that we have faults in this matter and that we have to change on an individual basis in order to fix the problems ahead. Nehemiah, as one of God's great leaders, understood this concept. We would do well to ask ourselves, when we notice that we are going down that path of excluding ourselves from the blame, we would do very well in asking ourselves, and who are we trying to fool? We know that God understands who it is that is to blame, and we understand that God knows all things that man has done. So why is it that we try to confuse ourselves and say that we don't have fault in these things that are wrong with our country and with the things that we see around us? But he continues by saying in verse 7, "We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes and the rules that you have commanded your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the people.'" And back in Exodus chapter 24, when we see that God made this special covenant with Israel, Israel agreed that they were going to be obedient to God. When Moses gave the word, they said, "We will do all that the Lord has commanded us." Thus agreeing to the terms, thus agreeing to what God has planned in regards to that covenant. And gone against the things that were commanded to Moses and that were handed down to them. But we see that when they sinned, it was a direct sin against God when they disobeyed Him. And when they turned to other gods and they resorted to their sinful ways, it was something that God took very personally. That it was a direct sin against Him. But nevertheless, God is faithful in keeping His promises, whether they are in our favor or not. But if disaster strikes and we lose everything, and I mean everything, then we have nobody else to blame but ourselves. A storm cannot take everything from someone who has a proper relationship with God. A storm cannot take what it is that we find valuable, if that in fact is what we find valuable in regards to our spiritual relationship. We need to accept this and understand that when we experience different things in our lives that cause us to realize what it is that we have done against God, we need to first experience that godly sorrow, that remorse for directly sinning against God. But next, we need to experience confession in that we take responsibility in admitting our own fault and the current circumstances that we find ourselves in. But lastly, in order to rebuild a spiritual relationship, we need to change. We need to repent. One characteristic that makes Nehemiah stand out is how his realizations materialize into action. Continuing with what God said to Moses in chapter 1 and verse 9, He says, "But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though your outcasts are in the uttermost part of heaven, from there I will gather them and bring them to the place that I have chosen to make my name dwell there. Return to me, God says, and I will accept you back into this place that I have chosen for my people." You can see that God has a plan for Israel, and that even back when He was giving this plan to Moses, that He had a plan of redemption on dealing with Israel when they went astray. And He says, if you turn your ways and you return back to me, then I will welcome you back into this place that I have chosen. This place that we saw formerly in the text was destroyed. Returning back to this land that was given to them as an inheritance from this time when they came out of Egypt and went into this promised land that they had been in for so long. This land that was taken from them. Now, I had a friend that over and over again, he would make plans with me, and he would reach out to me and make these plans, and then for whatever reason, whether it was something that came up in his life or whatever excuse that he had at the time, he would go to me and he would cancel those plans over and over and over again. And I don't know if you have anybody in your life that's like that, but every time he would say, "I'm sorry, it's my fault, let us reschedule." And then he would do that again, and then he would do that again. And continually he would say sorry, and he would reschedule the plans. Well, after a while, that sorry became meaningless. Are we truly sorry as a people, as a nation, if we don't take that godly sorrow and don't take that individual responsibility and turn it into change, into reconciliation with God in a way that will affect our spiritual lives? When we think about restoring this relationship, God brought them through this time of discipline where He wanted them to learn these lessons. That when everything is taken from you, you should realize that my relationship with you is necessary. Because if you have lost all of your physical things, then you have nothing left if you do not have a relationship with me. God wants this city rebuilt. God wants them to be restored to their former state of glory as His chosen people. But we're going to see in Nehemiah, and we've seen already in this text, that God has something far more serious in mind than just rebuilding a city wall. God wants a restored relationship. God wants them to rebuild themselves spiritually so that they can continue to perform the works that God had planned for this great nation. When we likewise see everyone experiencing these tragedies around us, and they're asking these questions, why is this happening to me? What is it that I'm going to do next? And the reason they're asking those questions is because they've lost everything. But when we think about their current state, what is it that they should learn from these experiences? Should we ever be in a position where we lose everything due to some statistical matter that has to do with weather and all these other sorts of things that come into play, things that are outside of our control? Should we ever be in a position where we lose everything because of chance? Does that even make sense? When we ask ourselves the right questions and when we learn from these experiences, we understand that disaster should only show us that we need to strive for something more. That we need to learn from those experiences and that God has something more. The Creator of the universe has something more in store for us than these physical things that can be taken away from us without our control. What can we learn from when disaster strikes? If we do not have a relationship with God, then we truly have lost everything. That is the case for Israel, and that is the case for everyone whose possessions were destroyed in these hurricanes and in these fires. But even with Israel, when the emphasis was way more focused on the physical, God still wanted to rebuild this spiritual relationship. Let us ask ourselves this question this morning. What is it that we're afraid of losing? What is it, and we've been talking about this in 1 Peter, and it's very fitting to our discussion this morning and in what's been going on around us in our country. If we're afraid of losing the physical, then we're going to remorse over the physical. We're going to be sorry for ourselves and that we lost everything that mattered to us. But if we are God's people going into these disasters that are above our control, then we're going to realize that when disaster strikes, we really haven't lost anything that matters. We really haven't lost anything that is of value because God has something greater for us in store. If you read your bulletin articles, which I hope you all do, it expands on this concept of something that is imperishable, something that can't be taken from us. Let us look at it from the lens of Scripture and from the lens of truth when we look at these questions that are so prevalent amongst those who experience such tragedy. Then when we lose everything, maybe that means something needs to change, so that we find ourselves in a state where nobody can take everything from us. Can anybody take everything from you? And if that's the case, then that needs to change this morning. If it's the case where if somebody came in and they took all of your possessions, they took everything that you have as far as your livelihood, whatever it might be, then that needs to change this morning, because we understand that things might happen to us that we don't expect. Let us ask ourselves that question this morning. If there is a spiritual need that needs to be rebuilt, then that's what we're focusing on here as God's people and as His church. We're focusing on rebuilding and maintaining these spiritual relationships. through understanding that when we sinned against God, we experience this sorrow that leads us to take responsibility for our own actions, thus causing us to change our lives. If you have a spiritual need this morning, please make that known to us while together we stand and while we sing this song of encouragement and worship to Him.